Hello, friends, as well as a few enemies, scoffers, atheists, skeptics, lunatics, weirdos, and assorted bad guys. And, of course, all of you good guys and girls out there, welcome to the Sons of Liberty. You have with you yours truly, Mr. Bradley Dean. I wanted to show you something really quick because we're going to kick into this first segment. Right off the bat here, if you're looking up at social media platforms, sonsoflibertymedia.com, top left side of the page, social media platforms, and or beforeitsnews.com, top left side of the page, beforeitsnews.com, you're going to notice that the Supreme Court is at it again. And folks, this is not going to stop. They're going to keep relentlessly attacking your rights. They are facing off with what our forefathers established. And it's because, again, the responsible part of the American people are allowing them to push as far as they have. Now, we're going to be getting to that in just a moment, okay? Because it's important that we cover this again. Because they're not going to stop until they can strip you of your God-given rights. And in the process of doing so, folks, what I'd like to do is I'd like to go ahead and start the show off by showing you a video just to show you how far these people are willing to go. And you cannot make it up. Now, before watching this, consider this. Your politicians are writing up policies that undermine the Second Amendment of the Bill of Rights, the right to keep arms. It shall not be infringed, right? And in the process of that, they're sitting there with armed security detail defending themselves from the American people. Also, keep in mind the video that I'm going to show you right now. These useful idiots did their absolute best, friends, while they stepped in it from the very bottom of their feet to the top of their head. When they are trying to justify statistically what it means to have an arm to defend yourself, a weapon to defend yourself, and to not have one. What I want you to consider is this. These people have armed security detail as they're trying to falsify statistics in those that have a right to bear arms and defending themselves from criminals. Okay, so let's go ahead and watch this again. You cannot make this up, but this is how far they're willing to go.
One compromise bill signed by President Biden found some support among Republicans in part because it doesn't unilaterally ban the sale of any assault rifles.
Listen
or
to this.
Large capacity magazines. Well, one Republican congressman argues guns are used more than a million times a year to save lives. Paul Spey checks that claim for PolitiFact.
Listen to this.
How many times a year is someone saved by a law-abiding gun owner? Well, Republican Congressman Andy Biggs of Arizona says it happens about 1.5 million times a year. Here's what he told the House Judiciary Committee.
I repeat, the Department of Justice, under Democrat control and leadership, under Democrat administrations, have done their studies and conservatively estimated that guns are used 1.5 million times per year to save lives.
Is Biggs right? No, his office didn't get back to us about this claim, but it looks like he might be misinterpreting this gun rights group's website. Gun Owners of America says the Clinton-era researchers found that guns are used 1.5 million times a year for self-defense. And those two words are key. The group's...
Okay, so I want you to keep in mind what they're trying to do. They're trying to discredit the fact that somebody put out there that gun owners have protected themselves from assailants over 1.5 million times. So what? He's trying to discredit that stat. Why would that come to these people's minds to do a hit piece on the lives that have been saved because they have been an armed people in defending themselves against assailants? I mean, this is the kind of stuff you can't make up. This is all that they have to do. Hey, friends, I'm here to tell you that they are doing everything in their power today to make sure they can strip you of your God-given rights. But I'm also here to tell you that the only way that that happens is when you forfeit your rights. That's the only way that this is going to happen. Let's continue on here, friends, with this useful idiot trying to discredit the 1.5 million people or 1.5 million times annually people have used guns to defend themselves from criminals.
Cited a 1997 Justice Department report that was based on a telephone survey. Out of about 2,500 people reached, 19 people said they'd used a gun against a specific criminal threat. Researchers then applied that fraction to the entire U.S. adult population and estimated that guns were used defensively 1.5 million times a year. Now, But the words used defensively do not mean lives were saved. The report does not say that.
Can you make this up, folks?
People self-reported these incidents, so their stories are hard to verify. And in some cases, it's hard to tell how much of a role the gun actually played. Take a look at some of these interviews with gun owners from a study in the year 2000. One man said he shot at the ground near some people who were trespassing on his property. Another man said he heard a noise in his house, he got his gun, and he went downstairs, and then the burglar left after no shots were fired. So the congressman is wrong about what the Justice Department said, and because there's no specific studies on this issue, it's really hard to nail down a specific number of people who are saved by a good guy with a gun. That's why.
Hey, the truth folks, this they're almost acting as if a life was saved because they had a weapon in defense in saving their lives against a criminal. They're almost talking down on that like it's a joke. But yet, keep in mind, these useful idiots right here, along with the politicians, those useful idiots as well, that are being used to their own demise, they have armed security detail around them, protecting themselves from the very people that they are supposed to protect themselves. So there's a whole lot of contradiction going on here. I've never seen such a ridiculous report in all of my life. I can't even almost believe this clown did this piece. I'd be embarrassed. I'd be ashamed. I mean, how many men fought, bled, and died fighting against tyrants that disarmed their people, like Joseph Stalin, like Mao Zedong, like that of Adolf Hitler, like Pol Pot? The list goes on. Now it's here in America, and they're trying to aid the politicians or the dictator wannabes in defending themselves, or should I say, in disarming the very people that could actually stand up against them in their crimes. I mean, you really can't make up this nonsense. And it's embarrassing to say the least, but it just shows you that they're doing this without any shamefacedness. They're completely shameful and they're not embarrassed. Why? Because they don't know the difference. That's why. Hey, folks, when you look at 1 Samuel 13:22, what does it say? So it came to pass in the day of battle that there was neither sword nor spear in the hand of any of the people that were with Saul and or Jonathan, okay? His son only was there found. Only Saul and Jonathan, the king and his son, had weapons. How did the Philistines control the lives of the Israelites during that particular time? They disarmed them. What did Mao Zedong say in November 6th of 1938? He said, all political power comes from the barrel of a gun. See, they want to use these useful idiots to try to get you to forfeit your God-given rights. The Communist Party said, he said, Mao Zedong did, must command all guns. That way, no guns can ever be used to command the party. So what are they doing, friends? They're doing their best to disarm the American people so they can no longer resist or refuse a dictatorship or a dictatorial government, a totalitarian system of government. That's where we're at today, friends. And what we need to do is come to terms with the Second Amendment and understand again that we have rights. Now, this is brand new information. I covered part of this last week, but when you look at the Second Amendment, again, it says a well-regulated militia. That's me and you. Read Article 1, Section 8, Clause 15 and 16. 15 and 16 in the U.S. Constitution. We are the militia. Congress shall make, a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Folks, what we're going to do is we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back on the other side. Again, sonsoflibertyradio.com, sonsoflibertymedia.com. Again, we'll be right back. Okay, so we're going to go ahead and pick it up here again, friends. And what we're talking about right now is gun control, dictator style. I just gave you a comment from Mao Zedong on November 6, 1938. It's interesting that, and I've shared this before, but you can't make it up, and it's coming to my mind right now, that the grandchildren of the grandparents that were murdered by Mao Zedong are now worshiping the very man that was used to genocide their parents and their grandparents. And it's exactly what's happening in America today. Now, I want to say this, and I want people to understand perfectly as to where we're going with this, okay? When you look at the history of disarmament, this is what I want you to hear, and this is what I want you to pick up on, because it does apply here, because history, again, in America is repeating itself. The most foolish mistake we could possibly make would be to allow the subject races to possess arms, their political opposition. History shows that all conquerors who have allowed their subject races to carry arms have prepared their own downfall by doing so. So dictators know where to go. They got to get rid of their political opposition. They have to demonize them. Indeed, I would go so far as to say that the supply of arms to the underdog is a sine qua non. That's Latin for the overthrow of any sovereignty. So let's not have any native militia or native police. German troops alone will bear the sole responsibility for the maintenance of law in order throughout the occupied Russian territories. That is the law in order according to Adolf Hitler in the Third Reich. He goes on and says that the occupied Russian territories, a system of military strong points, must be evolved to cover the entire occupied country. Now let's go. Let's give you a little history here so you can understand how this is going to happen here if the American people don't impeach and prosecute those that are acting outside of their scope of authority. What am I talking about? They've never been given delegated authority from we the people to have them disarm us. They work for us. We do not work for them. They're assuming authority that's not there. There is no debate when it comes to the Second Amendment. There is no debate when it comes to the First Amendment. Period. Now, let me show you the history, folks. Germany established gun control in 1938, and from 1939 to 1945, 13 million Jews and others, political dissidents, gypsies, so on and so forth, were unable to defend themselves. They were rounded up and exterminated. You starting to track with me here, folks? That's what this is about. This is being presented to the Supreme Court again. Hey, folks, I'm here to remind you of one of our presidents, Andrew Jackson. He clearly said, and he was exactly spot on when he said it. He knew exactly what he was talking about. He said, if the Supreme Court is the final arbiter to decide differences of right and wrong, of what the Constitution says, then we have ceased to be our own rulers under God, and the Supreme Court is now our ruler. Do you understand that every time things go to the Supreme Court, the bad guys who are on the bench working with the other bad guys, they're playing off each other with the use of the mainstream media, are always trying to put it into their court, metaphorically speaking and literally speaking, so that they can go ahead and misconstrue and continuously etch away incrementally at our God-given rights. They've done this through red flag laws. The list goes on. Okay? Let me go back to President Andrew Jackson. Listen carefully. If the Supreme Court is the final arbiter of what the Constitution says, then we as a people have ceased to be our own rulers under God, and the Supreme Court is now our ruler. But let me remind everybody that when you read Article 6, Section 2, it's the supremacy clause found in the U.S. Constitution, which is predicated on what? It's premised on common law. God is the lawgiver. And when you look at what our forefathers established, I want to reiterate this. When you look at what our forefathers established, you see the modern-day politicians doing everything in their power to undo what our forefathers established. They're facing off with our forefathers. And either we're going to hold to our God-given rights, or we're going to forfeit them, and we're going to end up in the company of many people that were exterminated. I know a lot of people will say, well, Bradley, that's just crazy. I know. Why don't you go back 20 years listening to this show and tell me how crazy I am? Romans 8:14. Go ahead and tell me how crazy I am. I seen somebody post today that it's time for people to start listening to the conspiracy theorists because they're trying to get you to pull the curtain back the way that they did. That's exactly right. We're not theorists. The Bible talks about conspiracy over and over and over and over again. Conspiracies are very real. And if you haven't been paying attention, maybe you want to go ahead and pull your head out of that sand. Read Jeremiah 11:9 and do a Matthew Henry piece, as far as the commentary goes, read the commentary on Matthew Henry and tell me that that is not exactly what's going on in America today. It's exactly what's going on in America today. So let's get over to this. If the opposition disarms, well and good. This is Joseph Stalin. He's responsible for murdering 20 to 40 million of his own people. And you know what the descendants of those that were murdered under Joseph Stalin, they called him the father of the country. Do you know that they want that dictatorial totalitarian system under the Red Terror reestablished? Well, guess what, friends? It never went anywhere. The media is just trying to desensitize you and indoctrinate you into believing otherwise. Friends, that's never left. So let's go to Joseph Stalin, the sole leader of the Soviet Union from 1924 to 1953. What did he say? If the opposition disarms, well and good. If it refuses to disarm, we shall disarm it ourselves. What do you think the red flag laws are? They're not laws, first and foremost. They are violating law. They're a complete usurpation of the Second Amendment of the Bill of Rights. This is accusing you're guilty until proven innocent. It's giving judges in America a free hand along with the citizens to tell on people to go ahead and rid ourselves of due process of law. That is a clear violation. So in other words, if your neighbor wants to go ahead and accuse you of something, they can call the sheriff and the sheriff can call the judge and they can go ahead and sign off on an issue to go ahead and disarm you without any evidence whatsoever. It's a violation from A to Z, folks. Okay. In 1929, the Soviet Union established gun control. And from 1924 to 1953, about 20 million dissidents, those that didn't agree with Stalin, unable to defend themselves, they were rounded up and exterminated. Again, I can just hear people saying, you're just using that as a scare tactic. No, I'm using that because our forefathers told us, if you want to understand history so it doesn't repeat itself, study the past. And we're not going too far back when it comes to the past. Mao Zedong, communist dictator of China, said, war can only be abolished through war. Hey, folks, let me say it this way. Force, if we're going to be ruled by force, that's what creates war. That's what a totalitarian system of government creates. When we're ruled by law under God, and we do it lawfully, there's going to be peace. But again, when there's rule by force, that's what creates war. And that's what they're doing right now. Speaking of the communists, it would be all good for us and advantageous to each and every one of us to understand that the communists say that when you feel the people, if you feel mush and they're not resisting you, the communists say, keep going. Okay? But when you feel their steel, that means the people stand up and take it back to them. They say, go ahead and recant, retreat. See, they're doing what they're doing in America today. First of all, because you're the obstacle. You impede the way of the New World Order. There's 393.3 million guns in the hands of the American people. That imposes a problem for them to overtake. Okay? Number one. Number two is this, folks. Not only are they trying to disarm you, but you also need to understand, folks, that that's the purpose of them disarming in the first place so they can get you to a point where you can no longer refuse. I think I just said that, but I'm saying it again. And I was going to bring up another point, but it's important that you understand the first one. When they feel your mush, they're going to continuously move on and they're going to keep going after you. When they feel your steel, they're going to retreat. Mao Zedong, murderous Mao Zedong, the stinky peasant. You should watch some documentaries on this creep. Perfect example in the modern day was Barack Obama, who's still behind the scenes doing the things that he's doing, that foreigner, that sodomite. Yeah, he's still there. But Mao Zedong, this is what he said. War can only be abolished through war, and in order to get rid of the gun, it is necessary to take up the gun. They want to out-arm you. Listen to me again. They want to out-arm you, friends. And that's why they've taken the 87 agencies, all unconstitutional, the federal government, Again, stealing away, reallocating your money, creating agencies, and then arming them against who? Their own citizens. Folks, we're way beyond. You know, I should be shouting at the top of my lungs right now. We're in a dangerous position in this country when we still sit back, see the borders wide open, and then watch the government systematically disarm the people within this country to defend themselves against foreigners. And I'm talking about foreign invasion. China established gun control in 1935, and from 1948 to 1952, 20 million political dissidents, unable to defend themselves, were rounded up and they were exterminated. You all tracking with me? I hope so. Idi Amin, president of Uganda from 1971 to 1979, said, "I don't want to be controlled by any superior power," in other words, the people. "I myself consider myself the most powerful figure in the world." Yep, so did the devil, Isaiah 14. "And that's why I do not let any superpower control me." Well, guess what, friends? Because the people didn't rule the roost, one of the wonders of the age. Uganda established gun control in 1970. And from 1971 to 1979, listen carefully, 300,000 professed Christians, unable to defend themselves, were rounded up and exterminated. See, the devil hates the light that reproves his dark acts, Ephesians 5:11. And that's our job. That's our obligation. These are commandments, friends, not suggestions. Pol Pot, who created in Cambodia one of the 20th century most brutal and radical regimes, was responsible for killing over 1 million of his own uneducated yet unarmed citizens. Now, again, friends, can you make this up? Where is it in the minds of the American people to actually stand up and act as if this would never happen here, yet you're seeing the same actions through your said representative governments? And I'm talking about as individuals, and then corporately, act out the same way that these dictators did before the genocide. Folks, what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to take another break. We're setting up segments with that. SonsOfLibertyRadio.com, SonsOfLibertyMedia.com. If you'd like to book us, 1-866-233-0747. We'll be right back. Welcome back again to the Sons of Liberty, friends. You have with yours truly, Mr. Bradley Dean. If you'd like to check us out on social media platforms, please do. Also, go over to the store, which is sonsoflibertymedia.com, sonsoflibertymedia.com, and or beforeitsnews.com, beforeitsnews.com. And you'll find us on social media platforms over there. Also wanted to let you know that this up and coming June 1st, from 1 to 6 p.m., we're going to be at 4471 East Atherton Road in Burton, Michigan. We're going to have several speakers there that are actually those that are out there on the front, the cutting edge and doing the stuff, as we call it here in the ministry. Again, that will be this Saturday from 1 to 6 p.m., 4471 East Atherton Road, Burton, Michigan. Starts at 1 o'clock and it goes till 6 p.m. Cool. So when you get some time, Michiganites, come out and say hey to us, okay? Let me get back to this. We were just talking about gun control dictatorship style. And I got the headline as dictator style, but it is dictatorship and it is totalitarianism. It is authoritarianism is what it is. I want to go back and I want to offset all of this nonsense that's going on here in America. And I just want to go back to our forefathers in contrast, if you don't mind. When you look at what our forefathers said concerning the Second Amendment, listen carefully. He said, this is what George Washington said. "From the hour the pilgrims landed to the present day, events, occurrences, and tendencies prove that to ensure peace, security, and happiness, the rifle and the pistol are equally indispensable. The very atmosphere of firearms everywhere restrains evil interference. They deserve a place of honor, not dishonor, with all that is good." You know, let me put this into perspective for you. You know, do you remember after Columbine, April 20th, 1999. You remember when all that went down? Remember the first thing that the government did in the use, in the hands of the useful idiots through the mainstream media? They went after the gun as if to suggest the gun committed the crime, not the person pulling the trigger, or in this case, the ones that they educated to commit the crime. Also notice that in Columbine, that is where 13 people were murdered by these two lunatics that were on dangerous psychotropic antidepressants, which is a fictitious disease. Ask the founder. Isn't it interesting that these two kids looked for a gun-free zone, just like 94% of the crimes that are being committed against people through mass murder are in gun-free zones by criminals with guns? I want you to listen carefully. People, it's for you to hold those corrupt politicians accountable for the crimes being committed against the innocent in those gun-free zones that they were allowed to put up in the first place. We have to put this into perspective, lawful perspective, and shut down their propaganda narrative, because that's exactly what this is. It's a propaganda narrative. They always want to blame the gun for the crime committed rather than the person that's committed the crime. I mean, it's just that ridiculous. I want you to listen to this. If a violent crime is to be curbed, it is only the intended victim who can do it. That's why we're armed. The felon does not fear the police because he sees that soft judges have produced hardened criminals when it comes to their willingness to stand up and commit a crime again. We have a 74% recidivism rate in this country. That means once they go do time, they're slapped on the hand, they get released, they commit another crime, and again, and again, and again, and again. Why? Because the people in this country have forfeited God's commandments and his judgments and statutes as to how to deal with the crime, and they've allowed men to create a system of indulgence. How's that working out for you, America? If a violent crime is to be curbed, it is only the intended victim who can do that. The felon does not fear the police, and he fears neither the judge nor the jury. As a matter of fact, they laugh at the judge and the jury today. Therefore, what he must be taught is to fear the victim. Do I need to say that again? What he must be taught is to fear the victim. Hey, folks, go back to our forefathers. Our forefathers didn't arm the American people for the purpose of hunting. Knock off those talking points. That is in part, but that is not why we're an armed people. We're an armed people to protect ourselves from those that are doing the hunting, corrupt politicians. Namely, back in that time, concerning our forefathers, it was the tyrant King George. The Second Amendment is only to vouchsafe our right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That's the Fifth Amendment. And to assure all of the other rights given unto us by our Creator. Another thing to think about, and I'll get back to this point in just a moment, is the fact that when they can disarm you Americans and you forfeit your God-given rights, because that's the only way it's going to happen, once you forfeit your God-given rights, all of your other rights are completely null and void. They're completely null and void because you have nothing to back them up with. See, they've cast into your mind that the militia is evil. No, it is not. They've cast into your mind, and many of you have taken on what they've cast into your mind from those that you say you don't believe concerning the Mockingbird media. When they cast into your minds that somehow or another, when we quote our forefathers, it's an evil suggestion, as if to suggest what I just did, that our forefathers gave us the right to bear arms, that is in case... In their case, King George was doing the hunting. See, that's what they don't want you to understand, but that's exactly what's going on. That's what went on back then. They didn't put up with it. And it's exactly what's going on with us today. Again, let me say it this way. Our forefathers did not arm the American people for the purpose of hunting, but rather to protect themselves from those that were doing the hunting. It's exactly what's happening in America today. Can you imagine what would have happened during the last created crisis if the American people were not armed the way that they were trying to force people to take an experimental jab? By the way, 20 million people are now gone that have taken it. Isn't that crazy? And for the record, they're still censoring doctors. They're still censoring anybody that wants to tell you the truth of the matter. See, now what they're doing is they're just creating another narrative, and then they're blaming other symptoms on other things that they may have been given by other people, of course, to get the eyes off of themselves. Oh, what a terrible way to live. I mean, what a terrible way to live. They got to cover up lie after lie after lie after lie. See, they don't understand that a false witness shall not go unpunished. Proverbs 19:9. They don't understand that there's nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and there's nothing covered that shall not be revealed. It all shall be made manifest. Why? Because that's the mercy of the Lord bringing their lies to the surface. And then it's for the people in this country, namely first and foremost the church, and with those in the halls of government, they're supposed to stand up and deal with those that are perpetuating the crime that the Lord just exposed. That's why the Lord said, keep my commandments, keep my judgments and my statutes, and then therefore you will know peace and righteousness within the gate. Read Isaiah 51 verse 4. Also read Amos 5:15 when you get a moment. Hey folks, the wisdom of the fathers of the Constitution once again is found consistent with the lessons of the Bible. See, they use the Bible as their bedrock for civil law. Of course it is. The people's individual protection should always be a primary concern of government of the people. In a righteous country, a self-government reigns, or should I say, reigns by the constraint of Christian morals. Of course. That's why you see Moses on the Capitol buildings. That's why you see the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob on all of your state preambles. That's what it starts off with, acknowledging the lawgiver. I have the state preamble here. It acknowledges the lawgiver, the first thing it does. And going back to my point that I was making concerning Article 6, Section 2, that's the supremacy clause under God. He's the lawgiver, and it's the job of the courts, going full circle to the very beginning of the first segment. When it comes to the Supreme Court or any other court, they're supposed to discover his law and apply it. And the law, isn't it tiresome? Isn't it mind-boggling that the American people today will allow the mainstream media to set the narrative that when someone defends themselves against the criminal, isn't it crazy that they've now allowed those politicians to give the criminal the right to sue the person that defended themselves against the victim? See, there's more mercy and compassion showed to the predators in this country and the criminals in this country rather than the victims. You have it backwards. Oh, the Lord calls that an abomination, folks. Proverbs 17:15. The Lord calls that an abomination. Also put that up against Isaiah 5:20. That's insanity. Folks, do you know what you are inviting? The judgments that you are inviting upon yourself by tolerating this? Man, these people are so far out of their scope of authority, every one of them should be in prison at least. And I know prison isn't scriptural. I'm just talking about through due process, because you know that they are as criminal, as tall as they are in every given scenario. The crimes they're committing and proposing, what they call through bills, legislators. Oh my goodness. I mean, again, folks, we're talking about the very government that is doing nothing about all of these illegals that are being lured in. As a matter of fact, the federal government and the state governments have been busted doing business with the Mexican cartel. And all of us know that, and yet the government's trying to disarm you. Speaking of migrants, can I make a point, and then I'll come right back to what I'm talking about here? In the first place, said Theodore Roosevelt, we should insist that if the immigrant who comes here in good faith becomes an American, and he assimilates himself to us, he shall be treated on an exact equality with every single one of us. I'm going to come right back to this. I got to take a quick break. We're talking about the modern day courts. The politicians are working to disarm Americans. Talking about immigrants right now. We'll come right back after this break. SonsOfLibertyMedia.com and or BeforeIt'sNews.com. Check us out. We'll be right back. So let me get back to this. Welcome back again to the Sons of Liberty Radio.com. I do want to say go over and check out our store, sonsoflibertymedia.com, and go ahead and check out those items that you requested. And with that, friends, everything there from t-shirts to coffee cups, I've got it all in front of me, but you'll see it all on the store when you take the time to go over there. Also consider becoming a member of the Sons of Liberty, because it's you that keeps us out there. We do not have sponsors. We are here in the servitude of the Lord and for the people, living out the Great Commission, Mark 16:15, also Luke 19:10. But go over to the store. Everything over there, folks, is conversation starters. It's premised on Scripture. We got brand new books as well. I mean, there's a lot of stuff over there, but we got these last two books for you. All the prophets were pointing. It's about a 2 to 3 hour read. First the heart, then the head, and then the armor. Then we have Soldier of the Cross. This is all available on sonsoflibertymedia.com. Do check out the store. Also check out our schedule. So let me get back to this. We were just talking about how the federal government is trying to disarm the American people concerning this invasion and this allurement of the illegals coming into America. And we see the crime rate is skyrocketing right now, just like I told you it would. Okay, they cross the border illegally. What do you think they're going to do when they get here? Just exactly what they're doing. But I want to make a reference to something that Theodore Roosevelt said about those immigrants, and then we'll just dovetail this back into the end of the show. He said, in the first place, we should insist that if an immigrant who comes here in good faith, because he's an American and assimilates himself to us, he shall be treated on an exact equality with everyone else. For it is an outrage to discriminate against any such man because of creed, birthplace, or origin. Yeah, we're all mutts in America, right? But we've assimilated. Then he goes on and he said, but this is predicated upon the person's becoming in every facet an American, and nothing but an American, not a Muslim American, not a German American, not a Mexican American, not a Chinese American, not a Japanese American. The list goes on. No, we're Americans. When they bring up those tags by tagging themselves as saying, for example, I'm a Muslim American, I'm a Japanese American, I'm a Mexican American, they've already told you where their allegiance is, and it's not to America. A double-minded man is what they are, and women. And therein lies the problem, and we're seeing a whole lot of that. And who fuels that divide and conquer narrative, Mark 3:25, more than the mainstream media? Nobody does. He ends and says, there can be no divided allegiance here. Any man who says he's an American but something else also isn't an American at all. He said, we have room but for one flag, the American flag. We have room but for one language here, and that is the English language. And we have room but for one sole loyalty, and that this is a loyalty to the American people. Boy, that sounds pretty good to me. Matter of fact, common sense even comes into play, doesn't it? Yeah. Yeah, it really does. So let me end this portion of the segment. The wisdom of the framers of the Constitution, once again, is found consistent with the lessons of the Bible they used as the bedrock for civil law. The people's individual protection should always be a primary concern of government of the people. In a righteous country, self-government reigns by the constraint of Christian morals. The civil government that desires such a monopoly of force, i.e., they are the only ones with guns, is a threat to the lives and liberty and property of its citizens, for that government ceases to be of and for the people. Of and for the people. Folks, we getting a hold of this? I truly hope that we are. And I want to tell you, they're using the mainstream media to divide the people. They always want to put the gun on trial rather than the person that committed the violent crime with the use of a weapon illegally. Okay? Abraham Lincoln warned long ago that our government rests in public opinion. See, no, he is incorrect. That tyrant is absolutely incorrect. It's not resting in public opinion. It's resting on a people that are educated to understand that we're ruled by law, not by public opinion. And this is where the mainstream media comes in and continuously drives the divide and conquer narrative, regardless of whatever direction they so choose. And again, the people put up with it. Micah 6:16. Lincoln goes on and says, who can ever change public opinion? He said, can change the government. Who can ever change public opinion can change the government. See, what's happening, friends, is people are dummied down. You know, wasn't it Thomas Jefferson that said, if the people remain ignorant, I always say stuck on stupid is to what Thomas Jefferson said. If a people expect to remain ignorant and free, they expect what never was and never will be. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And folks, I just want to, during the last couple minutes here, reiterate who we are rather than what it is that they want us to believe that we are. Listen to what Samuel Adams said. I'm just going to solidify this concerning who we are as a people. Samuel Adams said in 1788 that the Constitution shall never be construed to prevent the people of the United States who are peaceable citizens from keeping their own arms. Wow. Wow. What do we see? We see tyrants on the horizon, and we also have a warning from our forefathers as to what they do in those times of necessity. And what is it? William Pitt, the Younger, speech in the House of Commons, November 18, 1783, said, necessity is the plea for every infringement of human freedom. Let me give you a painted picture of this. Every time someone commits a mass murder or an act of mass murder, what's the first thing the mainstream media does? They put the Second Amendment on trial. We have to do something about it. This demands necessity. And notice how their necessity and their response is always an infringement on the Second Amendment. That's how you detect a tyrant. What do you think they're doing right now with this whole anti-Semitic nonsense, which in fact is aimed at Christians and the Word of God, which is humorous? Because like Augustine said, the Word of God is like a lion. You don't have to defend it. Just let it loose. See, because these tyrants don't understand history. They're going to learn it, but they don't understand it. When you let that lion go, the Word of God, it will defend itself and it will do more than that. Because all of their politics aimed at the church ends in self-destruction. But they want us to go with them. Okay? I'm not going there with them. It's always aimed at the weapon that people use to defend themselves. And they've taken it so far now where the person defending themselves has to defend themselves again. I mean, folks, in some states, they're telling you you have to put a lock on your gun. In some states, they're telling you that someone has to come into your house before you can defend yourself. Since when did that become their business? It doesn't. Since when did we work for them in the court system? This system of indulgence, because that's what it's premised on. It doesn't. We don't. See, the American people have played along with it so far that they've given it credibility. And there is no credibility, legitimately, constitutionally. But as long as you go along and you pretend with them, that's what's going to continue to go on. Necessity is the plea for every infringement of human freedom. It is the argument of tyrants. It is the creed of slaves. Look at every crisis that's been created by these evil, wicked men. What has been the response? Necessity. We need to infringe on their rights. And every time they do it, what do? Every time something happens, like this created experimental jab, this virus they created out of thin air, isn't it interesting, folks? The first thing they did is attack the laws that protect the people. HIPAA laws. Department of Health and giving them authority to usurp our God-given rights. All that's null and void. If you know the difference, well, you say, well, Bradley, it doesn't matter if you know the difference or not. It does before the Lord, because I have to do the right thing before Him. And if I do that which is right, I am right. If they do the wrong thing, that's on them. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. And they will reap it. Believe me. God is not a respecter of persons, and that is the bottom line. Thomas Jefferson said, letter to James Madison, the father of our Constitution, the fourth president, January 30th, 1787. He said, I prefer dangerous freedom over peaceful slavery. So folks, let's hold to who we are. Because what they're doing in the courts right now, it's all pre-planned. You know what the bad guys are saying right now? Let's drive it to the courts again. Let the courts deliver up our outcome. That's exactly what's going on. And they're looking for all the crimes that Hollywood, that television, that musicians are responsible for teaching the people. And why is that happening? Because the Supreme Court, that same court, said that they can go ahead and do whatever they want to do because free speech protects it. That is until you do the right thing. Look at all this illegal censorship that's going on concerning guys like me that hold to the Word of God and the Constitution. And if that's not enough for you to see who the tyrants are, how do I help you? I believe, Americans, that we are being pushed, and I've said this for years, to civil war. Because not everybody's going to go along with this disarmament scheme. Thomas Jefferson seen in his time that the tree of liberty must be refreshed from time to time with the blood of patriots and tyrants. He said it's its natural manure. I believe that's where we're going. I've exhausted myself. I've spent myself. And I've got a lot more strength, folks, let me tell you, by the grace of God, to keep going on here. But when the masses stand up and say no more, and not just stop there, but hold them accountable and impeach them and prosecute them, that's the message that the American people need to send to put a stop to this nonsense. Folks, love you by what I do, and I will talk to you in 23 hours. SonsOfLibertyRadio.com, Sons of Liberty.